You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today is National Poetry Day. The first Pacific Islander to graduate with a PhD in English from the University of Auckland, Dr. Selena Marsh, has just released her latest collection of poetry. The latest collection is called Tightrope and is an ongoing dialogue on memory, life, and death to find out whether stories can cure the incurable. 95BFM reporter Amanda Robinson spoke with Selena about her recent book release.
When did you start writing the collection?
Well, it seems to be about every 4 years that a collection comes out. So Fast Talking PI was 2009 and then Dark Spine was 2013 and now Tightrope is 2017. So I didn't plan it that way. It's like my kids. I didn't plan that they'd be 18 months apart. But life happens around them now. So I guess life happens around the writing as well, the poetry.
Did you kind of go into it thinking that they would all be in a collection, or at what point in writing the poems did you kind of start to put them together?
Probably when I had about 250 of them. So I don't write, I don't write towards a particular manuscript with a particular kind of theme or manuscript in mind. I just kind of practice writing as a way of being, and then when it's like you herd enough sheep together and you actually get a flock and so it's like, oh, actually this looks like they're crowding around certain themes, and that you could actually kind of see one through line or one story that might hold together quite a range of different kinds of poems or sheep, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there is that in reading it, you can tell kind of that through line. But then you also have kind of separated it into three segments, Abyss, Tightrope and Trick. How did you kind of go about deciding which poems belong to each section?
Yeah, it's so funny because oftentimes you don't know what you've written until you've written it and then given it a bit of space to be itself and to speak to you in different ways across various periods of your life. And it kind of operates on the principle of contiguity, right? So you put two what seem to be dissimilar or unlike things side by side, and if you put them there long enough, you can actually see connections there. And that's the beauty of being a poet and a creative writer, is that you needn't overdetermine the connections, you just let them rise to the surface. And so knowing that, Moa Laivau Albert Wendt's quote was, would not let me go, since it was published in the late 80s, it's always been one of those quotes that I've returned to over time. Knowing that somehow was in the middle of it, things started gravitating towards those three words, which is in that quote that opens up the collection. So it kind of, on the principle of contiguity and connection, it just started moving towards each other, so that there was kind of, it made sense to have these particular poems all together. Mind you, the 40 or so poems means that, just over 200 poems weren't included in the collection because they simply didn't speak strong enough to what I was trying to, the direction I was trying to move in.
And like you mentioned, the 250, that's a lot of poems. How do you narrow that down? Like over that span of time, obviously, but do you sit down and write out a bunch of poems, or do you ever sit down and write a full poem, or does it come more slowly than that?
That's a really good question, but I think as a poet, my kind of identity label is that I'm a Pacifica poet scholar, and there's a hyphen in between the poet and the scholar. So when I'm working and researching with critical material, I get to know it more intimately by writing poetry about it. So poetry is the way that I know not only my critical material, but the world around me. It's how I remember poetry itself is, kind of the trick, right? The self is the trick of memory, I think, the words read. I don't have it in front of me, but it's like we choose, as Albert says, we are what we remember. And so poetry is a way of remembering moments in time and experiences. And I think it's the poems that you that won't quite let you go, they always go through to the second round, you know. But writing poetry is kind of as natural to me as writing a letter to myself or, you know, writing an email. It's there's no big fancy kind of lead up to it. It's what I do. I scribble it on the back of serviettes and in notebooks and on my laptop, you know, wherever there's space, wherever there's an experience I want to capture, that it just goes down there. And then if it still calls to me at the end of the day or at the end of the week or at the end of the month, then I begin kind of the drafting process, and then I put more energy towards really pulling that poem out.
And you mentioned sometimes it's like a letter to yourself. Do you have an addressee in mind when you're writing?
Yeah, that's another really good question. Gosh, you've researched this, haven't you? sometimes and sometimes not. Like, I like to see myself as a poet of the people, and I get a lot of commissioned work. And so in commissioned work, you definitely are writing for a reader or a particular audience or a particular purpose. But even in those commissioned works, the poem needs to be a process of discovery. So, you know, we had the American poet Miriam Berush come and talk to our MCW students last week, and she was, you know, she said that poetry isn't about saying something, it's about discovering something. And I really had to wrestle with that, because a lot of my poetry seeks to say something. It seeks to connect and to move people. But I figured out what she was really saying is that to have an overt agenda from beginning to end kind of takes away the creative ethos of the poem itself. But to begin with something in mind and then to follow the language and the images that you find yourself laying down and to trust in the poem itself, that where the process of discovery takes place.
Beautiful.
Have I wandered sufficiently away from your question?
No, it's perfect. It's great. and you also perform your poetry as well. Do you, when you're writing, do you read your poems aloud to yourself?
Absolutely. It's crucial. I mean, often the poems begin with me reciting or saying something out loud, because the word is a living thing and it's an embodied thing, and just because it ends up on the page doesn't mean that the embodied word doesn't have its own energy when you speak it out. And, you know, I mean, I'll speak out my poetry to living things and inanimate objects. It doesn't matter, you know. It's kind of me hearing what it sounds like in the air is really vital. And you know, I'm preparing to MC for the New Zealand Booksellers Awards tomorrow night. So this is the industry awards where publishers and bookshop owners get acknowledged. And I'm opening up with a poem that I'm writing for them. I'm going to surprise them with it. And it's just remarkable how it's just taken on a life of its own. So I've got kind of, I know roughly where I want to go, but the poem that, you know, just when I was working on it this morning, I just thought, wow, this is really cool. It's unfolding in its own way. And, you know, I just want, because I find, you know, awards evenings, competitions are always really problematic, you know, for the majority of the people who sit in that room and don't get acknowledged that way. And so I know that I wanted the poem to acknowledge the beautiful work that everybody contributes to and making books kind of a vibrant part of our cultural life. And that's where the poem took me in the end. It was amazing.
Oh, that's
the best. I'm not saying that I amazed myself, but I'm saying that the poem amazed me.
Yeah, absolutely. And just lastly, you said that this book, in the book, you were trying to find out if stories really can cure the incurable. Have you found some sort of an answer to that?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we believe or we have faith that that is actually possible. And when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, the stories that you tell yourself are the most important thing, like for good or for bad. And so believing in that, I've got to believe that, you know, the stories we tell ourselves and the people around us and the community around us and the globe around us do have the potential to cure the incurable, because then we're in the realm of the imagination, and that's limitless. Come on down to the Whale on National Poetry Day from 4:30 onwards next Friday and celebrate walking on a tightrope with me.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.